It's the Mike Tech Show.
Show number 362.
This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions for any show topic suggestions or any tech question. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also on Facebook. You can send me a friend request on Facebook, and that is facebook.com/MikeTechShow. Also, the phone number is my Skype line. It's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Jumping right into the show tonight, I want to talk about the tech toy that I received for Father's Day, and it's an item that I looked at and I was thinking of buying, and I would not go out and purchase it for myself. And it's funny that I talked to the kids about this in the past, and they said, why don't you want one? And I didn't care about it too much, and it's Slingbox. And it's gotten a lot of publicity, and it's a device that allows you to be able to view any television channel no matter where you're at in the world, as long as you have an internet connection, and as long as the Slingbox is connected to your TV or your cable or Fios box or your Dish Network box, and it is connected to the router of your house for your internet connection. So it has to have an Ethernet connection and an IP address, and then you go through a very easy setup process. I wanted to make sure that if I was ever going to do it, it has to be HD. And that's something that luckily my kids knew enough to consult my wife and tell her, you got to get the HD version. When I open up the box, the present, I was really surprised. But that wasn't the main, well, it was the main surprise. But here's where the thought really went into the gift. Ryan gave me a $50 iTunes gift card because he knew I would want to purchase the iPad app, which is $30, for the ability to be able to watch the Slingbox and the television on my iPad. And he was dead on. It's something that you would want to get. Now, there's things that I've learned here for advice before you would get this. And why would you get it? If you are a sports fan and you're doing some traveling, maybe on vacation, you're not going to get your local sports teams where you're traveling. There's a very good possibility you're not going to get them. So if I want to follow the Phillies, and let's say I'm going down the shore, now going down the shore, maybe, you know, if I go to Maryland, probably not, because you have your Baltimore Orioles, so the local stations are going to carry the local sports teams. But being a house that is very big Flyers and Phillies fans, that is nice. A couple trips, small trips this summer, I'll be able to take my computer or take my iPad, and I'll be able to watch any channel. But here's the thing. When you plug it in and hook it up to your cable box, in my case, the Fios box, which are really the same Motorola boxes. When you change the channel and you're outside the house, it is changing the channel on that TV. Before you make an investment in the Slingbox, I highly recommend that you have a TV and a box. You don't even need the physical TV so much as you need the cable box, but you really need a dedicated box and connection. So you need basically a TV that's not being used or not used very often. Clearly, I can't leave it here in my office because that gets a lot of viewing, that TV. So I'm going to move it to a television that is primarily used for the Xbox that Tyler, my youngest, uses. And it is a high-def box, and he rarely uses it for watching TV. That's the perfect box to hook the Slingbox to. And I am going to migrate that this weekend because now I can change that channel and no one has to worry about it. Now, some things I learned. There is a Mac app that, well, I wouldn't say app. If you go to Slingbox on the browser, you have to get an add-in. And a tip for Firefox on the Mac, when you're viewing it on the Mac OS X, you have to go into the settings of Firefox and tell it to only run in 32-bit mode. Because if it runs and Firefox launches in 64-bit mode, you cannot activate the extension for the Slingbox to be able to watch. So when I logged in from my Mac into my Slingbox account, which is what you get a free account when you purchase the Slingbox, you have to activate it online. And it will check to see whether it can find the connection. Once you activate it and you get it all set and you can see that it can activate channels, they ask you some very specific questions about how you're getting your TV channels. Now, I really like that it asked me, when I put my zip code in, I was able to put the Fios, the digital, the city for the digital access. And then it asked me, how many digits do I enter to change the channel? And this is where it gets a little tricky for the installation. Everything's straightforward, except for how you change channels. Now, it's easy once you get it set up. When I identified my Fios provider, it literally showed me a picture of my controller popped up on the screen. And anytime that I'm online on a full computer, I can click remote. And the identical controller that I have for my Fios, every single key, the exact replica, pops up on the screen for me to be able to access movies, access the DVR, change channels. That is very cool. But in order to get it to change channels, you have this cable that you have to plug in to the infrared controller of the Slingbox, and it comes out with four, I guess, emitters that you must surround the infrared control of your controller. So what does that mean? I have to put one of the sticks coming out above, slightly above where you point your remote control. There's a little area on the box. So you have to then put another one from the bottom. So this way, when you are changing the channel remotely, it is sending the signal to actually change the channel like a remote control. I wish it's the IR remote, and I wish that the manufacturers of these devices would get with the cable manufacturers and allow it to be a direct connection, because there's an IR connection on the back of my Motorola box. It's useless. I don't think they've activated it. It's very difficult to sometimes position these. This happened, I know, in the old days when I used to have a TiVo. It was very difficult to get this IR remote to be able to change the channels sometimes. I'm impressed that it's now been years since I've had to hook up such an IR remote to a box, but it has worked very well and it has not failed. So I'm very pleased at how it works. And when I clicked the channel numbers, and I did this from the same room where I'm watching it change the channel, and it hits the digits very slowly. It enters them so it knows to make it stick so the channel will change, because it would be worthless if you would, if you know, you would hit, you know, channel 576 and you didn't get 576, it would be very hard to narrow into the channel that you want. You would basically have to use the menu guide, which you could, and then go up and down and use the up arrow and down arrow, and you could scroll the cursor on the TV. And I've actually changed the channel that way. And if you have a DVR, you can pause and you can replay. The installation, since I'm familiar with that IR remote from the past, and that was the one thing that was stopping me from going out and actually buying a Sling Box, was my bad experiences with the IR remote from an older TiVo. And I didn't care for that. And there was sometimes it would miss and go to the wrong channel. What good is it if you're going to the wrong channels and it's not working? So when the TiVo would go try to go to the channel based on its schedule to go grab something, it would grab the wrong program. What good is that? This IR remote seems to be significantly improved. And I'm very happy with that. Now, for HD content, do you really need HD? When I purchased the iPad app, it comes in very nice and it's very clear. And as long as I'm not going to throw that image to a really big screen, I'm wondering, do you really need the HD if you're just going to be watching some ball games or even some movies? And if it's going to be on a smaller screen like an iPhone or an iPad, I don't know if you need HD, but if you're going to put it on a big monitor, it makes a big difference. An example, I have a second 27-inch monitor on my iMac. And when I moved the browser to that 27-inch monitor and was watching content from my Sling Box, it was gorgeous. So the HD does work. Interesting, it does not have an HDMI port. So I had to use the component video, which they do give you a cable that's blue, red, green for your video. And then audio, although they have an SPDIF connection, unless you have that set up, you're not going to be able to use it. And so I just went in and used the regular audio for right, left, you know, the red and white cable. And then I used the component cables to the back of my controller box. Now, my controller box, I left my HDMI cable going to my TV. This is where you can have both outputs coming from the TV. I have an optical output going to a receiver for my speakers for optical audio. Now, I have that coming right from the Motorola box. You can also have the standard audio going to the Sling Box. I can have high def video going to the TV. I can also have high def video going to the Sling Box. So the controller boxes, you don't have to use them as a pass through. So all I had to do was go out from the cable box into the Sling Box. And I didn't have to then bounce the Sling Box over to the TV. So the Sling Box is literally separately connected to my Motorola box. I hope that I didn't lose everybody on that. So you can put it in line in between your TV and your cable box, or you can have it, if your cable box will allow you, it can go out to both connections. I actually like that because you don't have two HDMI connections on your cable box. You usually only have one for an output. It made it convenient for me to not have to even worry about that. Let the HDMI go to the TV and then let the component video go to the Sling Box. You also get a S-Video cable and then, of course, the regular yellow standard composite video. You get that. So as you work up the chain from the low, and you also get a coax cable, and there's a coax in and out. So you got a lot of connection options. And you always go from the lowest quality to the highest would be you have your coax, then you would have composite video, then S-Video, then component, then HDMI. So in that order, your lowest common denominator is your coax connection. That's the round cable, you know, the regular round with the little male connection coming out of the middle that you screw on to the connector. That's your lowest common denominator. And they do give you a cable for each one. It was 5 minutes to hook up, but when I was activating it, my Slingbox had trouble getting an IP address. At least I thought it did, because the network connection kept blinking when I had it plugged into my HP gig switch. When I plugged it directly into the Fios router, it got the IP address right away. I know I went into a lot of detail for this. If you want to get a Slingbox and you want the app for your portable devices, you be prepared to spend separate money for your iPhone and your iPad, because, and I didn't buy it for the iPhone. There's just no way I'm going to watch video on the iPhone like that. But the iPad, it looks good because you got a nice bigger screen. And I wasn't just going to pop another $30 for another app, at least right now. I'm not in a situation where I desperately need video on my iPhone. I like the device. It's working well. And I'm looking forward to when I travel, I will be able to watch my local sports content, or if I don't like the channels in the hotel room or where I'm at and I'm in a position to want to watch TV, I'll be able to do it. And I'm already thinking, if I have my computer and a good Wi-Fi connection, well, if my computer has an HDMI out and the TV wherever I'm at has HDMI, I could just run a cable right to that TV. And now whatever room I'm at in a hotel and there's an HD and there's a TV with HDMI, I will be able to watch TV from my house on that TV in the hotel room. So that's pretty cool. But there's a lot of things between both those connections, and you got to have a good Wi-Fi connection. I got to hope that my internet connection's up at home. The times that I've tested it right now, there's been no real lag. So we'll have to see what the quality is over, you know, maybe an hour or two of watching it. I haven't spent that much time yet. I've only been doing it on little pieces here and there, doing tests. I wanted to make sure that I can get it working under Windows and I can get it working under Mac and then also the iPad. I am very impressed with the Firefox add-in for the Slingbox that allows you to control everything. It's very impressive. And when you see that you have your exact remote control as a pop-up on the screen, makes it very easy and comfortable to be able to change. Thumbs up for the device. Let me know if anybody else has experience with it, good or bad, you know, and send me an email, miketechshow@gmail.com, and I will share it. I have a question that I need some help with. I have a client that has this sporadic problem there's two XP systems where they want to share files back and forth. Very simple, right? Well, one person can always access, so A can always access B, but B, every week or so, the sharing is stopped on computer A. And I have to figure out what is turning off or deactivating or blocking that's stopping file sharing. I have to go in, turn the file sharing off, then turn it back on, click apply, and sharing works. Why do I have to do that? So something is getting in the way that's not running all the time, that only gets occasionally run, that stops file sharing on the one computer. And it gets frustrating for my client. And you know, they want me to solve this. And it's happened before with the previous IT support. I found a solution faster. I can log in and just, you know, I uncheck a box and check a box and it's working. But how can I permanently fix it so I don't have to do that? Now, for the workaround, is there something that I can, I'm thinking right now, can I automate that procedure just as a workaround? So at least, okay, if until I solve it, they can click on something and file sharing's available. So I may just have to show them, this is, look, this is what you got to do. But they shouldn't have to do that, and it's frustrating. I really got to examine. I've ran an SIW report that will give me all of the info of everything that's running, all the drivers, all the versions of everything that's running, all the programs. It's a great utility. I bought the technician's license a while ago, and I use it all the time to be able to grab information from every computer that I'm supporting and every server. The technician's license for a lifetime, I think, is like $69, and it is well worth the money because this utility, I have an unlimited use, and I had a question because there was a problem where I put it on a USB stick and it wouldn't take my license. And this was a few months ago, and I had went a little while without using it, and I really needed to run it. I emailed the author. He emailed me right back with a link to the latest version saying that there was a bug in the version that I had that I originally downloaded, and I never upgraded it. So I needed to upgrade to the latest version, and then my license worked right away, and I've never had a problem since. And this is one of those fixed utilities on my USB stick because it just flat out works. Very, very happy with that utility. A big thumbs up. Another utility that I am going to share that I discovered today at a client site. I'm trying to fix, again, a printer issue. We have the Curacia multifunction devices that are in the office, and there's one at one end of the office and one at the other, two different models. And for some reason, one of the users, their drivers just stopped working. They just flat out stopped working. Everybody else, they can print. It's clearly got to be something on this person's workstation. I uninstalled the drivers, did not work. Reinstalled them. I even had trouble pulling the driver to try to install it from the server share, where you could just browse the driver. I could just browse the server, see the printers that are shared, right click, say connect. It would install the driver. That has been working flawlessly, except for this one computer. I actually get an error with it downloading. So the Curacia tech is on site because they're fixing something on one of the printers. And this had to do with a scanning issue. And now I had the tech as a captive audience to say, look what I'm dealing with here with this problem. And he shared with me a utility that you can run, and you can literally point to a printer, and it will give you all of the registry entries that are on the screen that are on your computer that you can click to delete. Because when you delete the driver, at least the Curacia driver, and he said this happens with HP a lot, there's a lot of things left behind that the driver really isn't removed. And there's lots of stuff hanging around that could be causing issues. This utility snuffs them out and allows you to delete them. So I like this. So I go in and I rip out, I see these registry entries that are still hanging around for the utility, and it allows me to download the driver. So I think, oh, I got it. That was it. It's going to work. It's going to print. No. Even though now I was able to right-click connect and the driver installed, when you go to print a test page, you couldn't even get the screen in printer properties to show you a test page. You would get an error. There was still something going on with the machine. And yes, we've rebooted. And you know I've had it up to here with printer problems. The Curacia tech says, just download the latest driver. Because we looked at the version of the driver that I have, and it is a year old. But I said, you know, everybody else here has the identical computer and it's working. I shouldn't have to download the latest driver. But I do. And for some magical reason, I install the latest driver, and she can print. So I'm happy that that's all I could, you know, my client's happy. The user is happy. The user's printing, and that's the end result. But why? Why should I have had to download the latest driver for just this one computer when all these computers are identical? They're all running the same software, and I don't understand. And that's something that I still got to figure out, because I was, you know, going nuts trying to get the drivers to work on this one machine. Once I finally downloaded the latest install, and I did the install differently than I normally do, where I'm normally picking it off a share. Here, I just ran their program, and it went out and found the Kirisia multifunction devices on the network. So when I seen that it found them, I was like, okay, we're moving forward here. Things are looking up. And when I clicked the one, finished it, printed a test page, it worked great. Did it again for the other printer, worked great. User's happy. That's the bottom line. And I'm ready with a solution if I start to see this happening on other workstations. This is one problem with a client. Now, same client, and this is the CEO, who his laptop, he sent me an email yesterday and said he's getting a warning that the hard drive is failing. Back up your data immediately. The way he described the warning, I said virus. And that's exactly what I thought. You are infected. It just, the way he described it, it didn't sound right. I emailed him back. I said, shut that laptop off. Bring it in, and see, it's going to be the exact opposite here. That's why I'm telling the story. Bring the laptop in, and when I'm over fixing the printer problem that I knew I was going to be working on, I'll check it out. I'll check your hard drive out and let you know whether it really is bad. And if it is a virus, I'm armed with my utilities. I'll clean it up right away, get it back to you, no problem. Well, when I turned this computer on, it was the smart information from the drive in the controller, and it was a real message, and it was warning, this drive is going bad, back up your data. Windows 7, when I logged in, big pop-up, your drive, and this was a true Windows 7, it is a Toshiba laptop with all the right Toshiba drivers. This is a factory install of Windows 7. But I pull out my trusty Crystal Disk Info. I run that on the drive, and a big red light, big red saying bad. Truly, it was a bad hard drive. That's why I wanted to share this, because I would have bet the farm. I would have bet everything that it was a virus. I just had that feeling that it was a virus. And it wasn't. The hard drive is going bad. And I made sure, I said, look, let's get your data off. And he said, no, he says, you know what? He has a backup, but he's going to take it home, pull the data off. I said, no problem. I just wanted to make sure that, and there's, luckily there's not a lot of data on it. I said, you have the choice. I said, we can go get another hard drive. And if you have the original CDs for the recovery, we can just restore right back onto a new hard drive and away you go. And he's deciding whether he's going to do that or not for the notebook, because it's not an expensive notebook. And to him, it's cheaper to just go out and buy a new one than it is to spend the money to have me even work on it for a few hours to go through that process. This is where you find good hardware that's thrown in a trash heap, where to you and I, a few hours of time on an inexpensive hard drive, you know, we can resurrect a laptop. But for someone else who's got to pay the hourly money and they're making that decision, it's very interesting, where to them it's cheaper to just throw it away and buy a new one. Interesting how each person will go through that process, whether something's worth paying for or not. And it's all relative. And I've had it work both ways. I've had clients that would say, hey, whatever it takes, go rebuild that thing. Just make it work. And then other clients, it's like, it's just not worth the time. I want to thank everybody for using my Amazon link on the left-hand side of the website, miketechshow.com. And interesting, if you're having trouble getting the miketechshow.com, depending on what DNS you're using, I noticed yesterday the Google DNS would not forward to MikeNation.net. And if you went to MikeNation.net, you got there. But yet, if you type MikeTechShow.com, it didn't forward properly on Google's DNS. When I removed Google's DNS from my DNS and I used my Fios, I got to it right away. And it was live during the recording, right before we started recording Tech Vets, that we were testing this. Carrie and I and everybody in the chat, and we were finding different results, but we came to the conclusion Google's DNS just wasn't doing it. So be careful. If you can't get somewheres, if you can't access a site, maybe the DNS you're using. If for any reason you can't get to MikeTechShow.com, MikeNation.net should work. And if you go to MikeNation.net and you're buying something from Amazon, please click on, you can't miss it, the big ad on the left-hand side of the website, and that'll help make a contribution to the show. And I really appreciate it. In remembrance of Clarence Clemons, who passed away this week, who was just an incredible sax player for Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. And it's going to be so weird seeing the E Street Band play without him on stage. He was such a great presence and just a tremendous musician. This is a song that I selected to in honor of him. Give a listen, then we'll be back to wrap up. That was Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, Darkness on the Edge of Town. And I hope you enjoyed that. I want to thank everybody for downloading and subscribing to the podcast. I really appreciate it. Thank you for all of your support. And I will talk to you same time, same channel next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.